Will members please register their presence by voting? Clerk, please take the quorum.
35 present, 5 absent.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, no one's excused from a call to the House today. I'll ask unanimous consent that that absent members be shown as excused on official state business.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Our chaplain today is Pastor Matthews of the First Baptist Church. Would the House please rise for prayer?
Dear Lord, for the gifts of work, challenge, victory, and even defeat, we give you thanks at this time. For a new day with all it holds, we give thanks and we ask that each of us be strengthened by your grace to be all that we're meant to be. Help us to see the responsibility we hold to those people who have shown confidence in us, and give us grace, give us strength, and give us the peace that comes with satisfaction of a job well done. Amen.
Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that prayer be spread upon the journal.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Would the clerk please certify as to the correctness of the Daily Journal?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 143rd day.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent this body approve the journal as certified by the chief clerk for the 143rd day.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Brings us to introduction of guests. Are there guests for introduction to the chambers? Representative Greening.
Mr. Speaker, I think at least one of these gentlemen has been introduced before, but they're both friends of mine from Anchorage, and they're both attorneys, very active in public service. Doug Bailey and Jack Roderick in Gallery B.
Are there further guests for introduction? If not, are there any messages from the governor?
Dear Mr. Speaker, I've signed the following and am transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. Senate Joint Resolution Number 49 relating to a national aquaculture plan and supporting Senate 2762, Legislative Resolve Number 26. House Concurrent Resolution Number 121 relating to the need for and cost and distribution of executive agency reports, Legislative Resolve Number 25. House Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for Senate Bill Number 473, amended House, making a special appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources and the Steering Council on Alaska Lands for site planning, design, engineering, or acquisition of campground accommodations on the Skagway Carcross Highway and for a film on public land in Alaska, and providing for an effective date, Chapter 55, SLA 1978. Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 786, amended Senate, relating to the Alaska Securities Act of 1959, Chapter 56, SLA 1978. Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 628, making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services and providing for an effective date, Chapter 57, SLA 1978. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 525, relating to the inspection of fisheries products by the Department of Natural Resources, Division of Agriculture, and providing for an effective date, Chapter 58, SLA 1978. Signed sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has passed House Concurrent Resolution Number 91, financing of an addition to the University of Alaska Power Plant, and it is returned. This resolution has been sent to enrolling. The Senate has failed to recede from its amendment to Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 477, amended, namely, Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 477, sale of state land with an effective date. The President appointed the following members to a free conference committee to meet with the like committee from the House to consider the above bills: Senator Poland, Chairman, Senator Orsini, Senator Butrovich. The Senate has passed House Bill Number 502, preparation, publication, and filing of regulations under the Administrative Procedure Act with the following amendment. It has been duplicated and placed on your desk. And so House Bill number 502, amended Senate, is transmitted for consideration. The Senate has passed House Bill number 756, Identification of Alaska Arts and Handicrafts, with the following amendment. Senate Committee substitute for House Bill number 756, same title, and transmitting same for consideration. The Senate has passed the following, and it is transmitted herewith for consideration. Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 487 by Croft, Bradley, and Huber, an act establishing minimum retirement benefits under the Teachers' Retirement System and the Retirement System of 1945 and providing for an effective date.
Referred to the Committee on Health, Education, Social Services, and Finance.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Speaker.
Representative Swanson.
Will the journal reflect my presence today?
Clerk, please note the presence of Representative Swanson in the chambers. Communications.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Commerce has had House Joint Resolution 82 requesting the Civil Aeronautics Board to continue two-carrier air service between Fairbanks and Seattle under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass with attached amendment. Report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman, concurred in by Chatterton, Parr, Carpenter, Hayes, Brown, and McKinnon. House Joint Resolution 82 has no further referral. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 513 relating to state land under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 513 and that it be reported back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, Chairman, signing due pass, Malone, Smith, Akers, Miller, and Osterbach, signing no recommendations as Snyder. Mr. Urien signed no recommendation. House Bill 513 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 647, making fiscal year 78 appropriation adjustments for analysis of royalty oil purchase proposals under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 647 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Cooper, Duncan, Meekins, Guy, Haugen, and Rode. Mr. Swanson has no recommendation. House Bill 647 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
House Concurrent Resolution 136 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, annulling certain regulations relating to sales and administering of rabies vaccine and the interstate transportation of dogs and cats.
Referred to the Commerce Committee.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of House bills.
No, Mr. Speaker.
It brings us down to consideration of the calendar. House Police Standards. Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There'll be a Democratic caucus on recess.
Representative Urien.
There'll be a Republican caucus upon recess.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, before placing the recess motion, I should note that the Chief Clerk, excuse me, cracking up again. The Chief Clerk indicates that Representative Lathine was also excused from the call of the House today. Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent we stand in recess to the call of the chair.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Down to consideration of the calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on the calendar?
House Bill number 720 by Bradley, Freeman, Phillips, and Cotton, an act relating to home sites and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 720 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 720 and that it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, Chairman, concurred in by Malone, Bennett, Smith, Akers, and Osterbach. Signing no recommendation, Eliason and Urien. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 720 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 720 Finance and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Cooper, Freeman, Haugen, Schaefer, Meekin, Swanson, Duncan, and Buchholz. Having no recommendation, Rode, Guy, Greening. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute be considered in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Does the clerk have amendments to the committee substitute?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 720 be considered engrossed, to advance to third reading and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Clerk, please read House Bill 720 in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 720, Finance, by the Finance Committee. An act relating to state land and providing for an effective date.
Representative Bradley. You ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 720 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Rode? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, no nays, 9 excused.
So House Bill 720 has passed the House. Bill does carry an effective date clause. Representative Miller.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, with congratulations to Representative Bradley for the most convincing speech of his career, I'll move and ask. I'll ask unanimous consent that the roll call on House Bill 720 be considered the roll call and the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
House Bill Number 767 by Meekins, an act relating to compensation for violent crimes. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 767 under consideration. The committee reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman. Signing, do pass, Brown and Rudd. Signing, do not pass, Gardner and Eliason. Signing, no recommendation, Miles. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 767 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 767 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Cooper, Freeman, Rode, Haugen, Guy, Meekin, Schaefer, Duncan, and Greening. Having no recommendation, Swanson. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Does the clerk have amendments to the committee substitute?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that House Bill 767 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. The clerk, please read House Bill 767 in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 767 by the Finance Committee, an act relating to compensation for violent crimes.
Ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 767 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 1 nay, 8 excused.
So House Bill 767 has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
House Bill Number 919 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee. An act relating to grants and aid to municipalities and associations maintaining public libraries and providing for an effective date. The Committee on HES has had House Bill 919 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by NACAC, OC, Cotton, Phillips, Parr, and Chatterton. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 919 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Cooper, Haugen, Guy, Meekins, Duncan, Swanson, Buchholz, Schaefer, and Greening. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that House Bill 919 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. The clerk, please read House Bill 919 in third reading.
House Bill Number 919 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee. An act relating to grants and aid to municipalities and associations maintaining public libraries and providing for an effective date.
Ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 919 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, no nays, 6 excused.
So House Bill 919 has passed the House. The bill does carry an effective date clause. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent to the roll call on House Bill 919 be considered the roll call and effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
House Bill Number 925 by the State Affairs Committee by request. An act establishing the Alaska Film Commission. The Committee on Commerce has had House Bill 925 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman, concurred in by McKinnon, Chatterton, Bradley, Parr, and Brown. Signing do not pass, Hayes. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 925 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 925 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Cooper, Freeman, Guy, Meekins, Duncan, and Greening. Signing no recommendation, Rode, Haugen, Schaefer, and Swanson. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent the Finance Committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Mr. Clerk of Amendments to the committee substitute.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, we have any ease.
House, please stand at ease. Does the clerk have amendments to the committee substitute?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number 1 by Mr. Gardner, page 2, line 23, section 445580. This act is repealed on June 30, 1983.
Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent for adoption of amendment number 1.
Hearing no objection, amendment number 1 is adopted. Does the clerk have further amendments to the committee substitute?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for House Bill 925 as amended by the House be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. The clerk, please read House Bill 925 in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 925 amended by the Finance Committee. An act establishing the Alaska Film Commission.
Ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 925 pass the House? The members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Anderson, Representative Bennett, Representative Schaefer. Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 14 nays, 5 excused.
So House Bill 925 has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
House Bill Number 926 by the State Affairs Committee by request. An act making a special appropriation to the Alaska Film Commission for the costs of its operations for 1 year and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Commerce has had House Bill 926 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass with attached amendment. The report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman, concurred in by McKinnon, Chatterton, Bradley, Parr, and Brown. Mr. Hayes signed do not pass. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 926 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 926 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Cooper, Freeman, Guy, Meekins, Duncan, and Greening. Signing no recommendation, Rode, Haugen, Schaefer, and Swanson. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Does the Clerk of Amendments to the committee substitute?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 926 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Would the Clerk please read House Bill 926 in third reading?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 926 by the Finance Committee. An act making a special appropriation to the Alaska Film Commission for the costs of its operations for 1 year and providing for an effective date.
Ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 926 pass the House? The members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 13 Nays, 6 Excused.
So House Bill 926 has passed the House. The bill does carry an effective date clause. Representative Miller.
Speaker, we lack 27 votes. I'll move the effective date clause.
Question is, shall the effective date clause be adopted on House Bill 926? Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
33 Yeas, no Nays, 7 Excused.
So the effective date clause has been adopted on House Bill 926. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
House Bill number 933 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act relating to compensation for state employees not covered by a collective bargaining agreement and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 933 under consideration. The committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 933 and that it be reported back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, signing do pass, Rode, Haugen, Duncan, and Cooper. Signing do not pass, Freeman. Signing no recommendation, Schaefer, Buchholz, and Greening. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent the Finance Committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
There is objection. Representative Urien.
Mr. Speaker, I would like an explanation from someone in the Finance Committee as the differences in the two bills and the reasons for those differences.
Representative Cooper.
Speaker, this bill reached the Finance Committee, and there were essentially three ways of going on it. One group of people believe that we should put the lid on any further increases in state employee salaries in the non-bargaining units. And another school of thought believe that we should go ahead and give increases at the same rate as the bargaining unit members and the people in the middle, which is how the bill came out. I believe that perhaps what we ought to do is make the raises, but not make them retroactive, have the raises start the 1st of July of this year. So that's what this bill does. There is an amendment on the desk that I'll speak to in just a minute, but Essentially, that's the difference between the original bill and the one that was adopted. That is that the pay raises for the non-bargaining unit members are not retroactive. They began on July 1, 1978. They don't go back to January.
Representative Urien?
Mr. Speaker, I object to treating this group of employees differently than we do our other employees. All the negotiated pay raises were retroactive, and I believe that these people should be treated likewise. And for that reason, I would ask the members to reject the Finance Committee substitute.
Representative Duncan?
May we be at ease, Mr. Speaker?
House, please stand at ease. Representative Duncan?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to speak in favor of rejecting the Finance Committee bill and going back to the original bill. I do have an amendment on the desk which would put back in the retroactive provision, and I think that's important. Historically, we, of course, have funded these non-bargaining unit members based on what has been done in the collective bargaining of those who are under union agreements. One of the provisions in the contract is a cost of living agreement. And those members of bargaining units do get a cost of living if the index goes up a certain number of points and is based on the Anchorage Consumer Price Index. I think it's only fair and reasonable for us to continue to follow the practice that we have in the past, that those members of non-bargaining unit members get the same treatment as those who are in collective bargaining units. In order to get that same treatment, they should have the retroactive 5% an increase that would start at January 1 of this year. For that reason, I also oppose adoption of the Finance Committee substitute.
Representative Miller?
Mr. Speaker, it's a rare day that I, like my colleague Mr. Duncan, would oppose the Finance Committee substitute, but I have to in this case as well. I think the important thing for us to remember here, Mr. Speaker, is that we're not talking about a pay raise. We're talking about an adjustment to in the cost of living. I think that's very important. If we were talking about pay raises for employees, we may or may not want to give these non-covered, non-union, non-association members a pay raise. But what we're talking about is instead simply trying to do what we've done for everybody else, and that is take into consideration the fact that their cost of living has gone up, and so, you know, we're going to make that adjustment. If we fail to make it retroactive like everybody else, we are saying, in effect, that let's play like your cost of living didn't go up the last 6 months. And that's just not quite fair, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Cooper.
To present a complete picture anyway, Mr. Speaker, and I do think this is a question that needs to be decided by the body. The cost of the amendment is $2.5 million, and it will come out of other programs.
Ready for the question. Representative Greening.
Mr. Speaker, one of the problems with the original bill is that it goes against what the university or management now wants to do in regards to cost of living adjustments. It's not their intent to increase the disparity between the various classes now by what in effect would the original bill would require, and that is to across the board cost of living raise. And the amendment that the finance chairman was referring to would take care of that problem, and allowing them to apply cost of living where really it's necessary, and not so as to increase the disparity now between the levels. And I think by adopting the original bill and the amendment, we'll get at a problem that we're going to continue or aggravate by adopting the original bill. I do have to disagree with the majority leader when he says that it's a different matter when we call this, when it isn't a pay raise but a cost of living adjustment. I think that's a matter of really semantics. I think the effect's the same to the employee, and the effect's the same on the budget. I think we can have a more rational approach to the problem if we adopt the Finance Committee substitute in the amendment.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I have to oppose, I have to favor taking the Finance Committee substitute. As far as university employees are concerned, there have been some employees in the research side at the university who have refused to accept pay raises. Now, so it sounds hard to believe, but it really is the case, because these across-the-board things have resulted in them being priced out of the market when they compete for various grants. They simply can't do it anymore. And Finance Committee bill plus the amendment would give some flexibility there and solve that problem. So I have to be in favor of the Finance Committee version.
Further discussion? House, please stand at ease. Motion pending to adopt Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 933. Is there further discussion? Representative Duncan.
Mr. Speaker, I just want to make one point clear, because I think perhaps there's been some confusion. The amendment that's been brought in here to take care of the university problem and some of the others can be adopted to either bill, and I want to make that clear. So if we reject the Finance Committee bill, that same amendment that to Representative Cooper and Representative Greening have been talking about can be offered to the original bill, and if no one else did, I would offer it. So I think the real decision here is on the retroactive provision. And I would state again, I think that, as in the past, we've given that retroactive. I think we should continue to do it. We're talking about cost of living. And the cost of living has gone up for those in the bargaining units and those that aren't in the bargaining units.
Further discussion? Ready for the question? The question is, shall the Finance Committee substitute be adopted? We'll take a roll call vote. I'd ask that the membership, check the board to make sure their votes are registering and not place all your confidence in a machine. Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 19 nays, 6 excused.
So the motion to adopt the Finance Committee substitute has not been adopted. Representative Dankworth?
1 minute at ease, please.
House, please stand at ease. Clerk, are further amendments to the legislation?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Cooper, does your amendment still stand for the original bill?
Speaker, I would. It wouldn't fit, so I would not move it.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Duncan.
May we have an ease, please?
House, please stand at ease. Does the clerk have further amendments to the bill?
Amendment number 1 by Dankworth and Carpenter. Page 2, delete lines 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
Representative Dankworth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This type of a bill, of course, on an election year is not always the type of bill that one likes to go and amend in this way. I beg your pardon? Oh, I'm
Please
very sorry, Mr.
Amendment.
Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
There's objection, Representative Dankworth.
I somehow thought there might be. The reason for this amendment is, and I go along with those people below $40,000 in this state getting a cost of living. And like I said, it's difficult on an election year to make this type of an amendment. But I think it's time, and I'm speaking for the citizens of this state, that they think it's time that people between $40,000 and $60,000 a year don't necessarily need cost of living. We've got to level this thing off somewhere. There's 20-some-odd thousand people in this state that don't even have a job today. And there's a lot of them out there working that aren't getting any cost of living guaranteed to them every year. And they're making a lot less than $40,000. So I feel it incumbent upon myself as a representative to at least say, let's stop this somewhere. When we get up, when a man's making $40,000 to $60,000 a year for a five-day-a-week job with a 30-day vacation, 14-day holidays, and a nice retirement plan, and good medical care, I think we're getting to that point where, hey, that's enough. And I'd ask for support of this amendment.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, there's a very technical problem in addition to this being bad law. The first thing we've done is, if you'll read line 10 on the first page, we've repealed the existing pay scale. So now, if we adopt this amendment, we are just wiping out all the pay scales from 24 through 30. Mr. Dankworth may not feel that they need a raise, but I don't think he would suggest that they work for free.
Representative Dankworth?
May we have a brief at ease?
House, please stand at ease. During the at ease, the proposed amendment was revised, raised. I suppose the proper procedure would be to ask for withdrawal of the previous amendment and resubmit the new amendment. Representative Dankworth.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask consent that I remove amendment number one.
Hearing no objection, the amendment is withdrawn. Clerk, please read the revised amendment.
Revised amendment number one by Dankworth and Carpenter. Page 2, delete lines 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Add new section 2 on line 8 to read. For ranges 24 through 30, the schedules in existing AS 3927-11A will remain in effect. Renumber subsequent sections accordingly.
Representative Dankworth.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Okay. There is objection. Representative Dankworth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, there might be, I think Mr. Miller mentioned before that this will throw everything off because people in lower ranges will be making more than people in upper ranges and stuff. Now, I suppose that can be made an argument that just keeps on putting state salaries over the $100,000 mark if we just keep saying that if this guy makes it, this guy's entitled to more and on. I don't think that's true. For instance, we'll take for instance a person that's in step OD, range 23 at $40,320. Now the state personnel rules require that if you are promoted to another range, that you not accept, you can't go backwards or take less money. So he would go into range D or range 24 at step D. So this doesn't mean those people are not going to, if they're promoted, aren't going to get a raise, but they will stay within some of the, that would not work that way. I'm very sorry about that. That would be eliminated because I don't have the schedule in front of me right now that it'd show, but he will be able to probably go to step E under the old section. Not with this one. So I really think that it's time that we showed a little muscle here and said, look, enough's enough. $60,000, $40,000, $50,000 jobs down here is good, and I'm not knocking the guys that have it, but we just got to stop it somewhere, and I think now's a good time to do it. I would ask support of the amendment.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I would suggest we show a little muscle here and stop rewriting bills on the floor of the House. The
It was referred to the State Affairs Committee, of which the prime mover was a member. I'm amazed that he hadn't brought up this at the time. The way you achieve reduction, Mr. Speaker, in an intelligent way is not with a meat axe, but, and it takes more time, admittedly, but you go in and you look at each job and you see, is that job worth that particular amount of money? That's, you know, and if somebody's being overpaid, if they can't justify the salary they're getting, then sure enough, they should, you know, that person should stay right where he is, or, you know, reclassify the job. You can't cut him back, but you can reclassify the job, move it down to a lower range, and that person will never get another raise. But to go in there with a meat axe and establish an arbitrary division here so that people in the lower ranges are getting more than the people in the upper ranges just doesn't make any sort of sense. It doesn't make good economic sense. It doesn't make any good personnel division sense. It just doesn't make any sense at all, other than maybe a sort of satisfaction that we get from having fought against the bureaucracy somehow. Mr. Speaker, these ranges are arranged, people might not recognize it without the percentage figures behind them, on a very scientific basis. There's a certain percentage between each range. I think it's either 5 or 7%, something like that. And then in between each grade within the range, there's also an exact same percentage. And what this allows for, then, is a very proper evaluation so that somebody with in a job is advanced on a, you know, on a logical basis from one level up to the next level if he's deserving, or if his job is reclassified, it goes up to another range, or if he himself applies for another job and gets it because of better education and so forth, he gets it. It's all based on a certain rhythm, a certain logic. If we start dividing right in the middle and saying everybody below this gets a 5% increase, but everybody above this doesn't get a 5% increase, you've just wiped out all the logic that's in here, and it's just sheer havoc. I don't know how, for instance, if we create a new job and it's in the range 26, I don't know how they're going to classify that with any relevance when a guy in a range 24 is probably going to get more money. It just doesn't make sense, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First of all, I'm the person who should apologize for the inartful drafting of the amendment, and I suggested it to Representative Dankworth just before the session. Hence, I was the one who should have, I suppose, been in the State Affairs Committee meeting to suggest it. But it came to my attention today that we should apply the meat axe to these higher paid employees who aren't in bargaining units. For several reasons. One, an employee of the governor's office who is in range 25 confided in me that he's embarrassed by the raises he's been receiving. Embarrassed by them. There's very little relationship between many of the jobs being performed and the amount of money being paid. Secondly, it occurred to me that I've received probably more letters from my constituents on the subject of pay for some of these employees than any other issue this session following the publishing in the newspapers of the salaries of many of these employees. I thought it was interesting to note that in the Fairbanks Daily News Miner, which caused quite a stir by publishing university employees. They also published city and borough employees. That the Alaska Advocate published the hierarchy of the Teamsters, and those guys are underpaid compared to the ranges we're talking about now outside the bargaining units in state employment. I think that the people of Alaska would be delighted if we right now took the meat axe and cut it off at range 24 through 30. Now, the majority leader said that that would be pretty unfair because that would mean that somebody in a lower range was going to be getting more money than somebody in higher range. Well, let's see what happens if we leave it just the way it reads now. In range 23, the in step A, the employee right now is making $34,404, and this 5% across the board cost of living increase would boost that to $36,120, about $1,700 would be the hike in pay for that employee. Let's take it clear to its farthest extreme. Let's take range 30 in step F. That person, whoever he or she may be, making $57,564 right now, gets hiked to $60,444. That's about $3,000. Not far off, 100% more than the one down the range. There's a great disparity in this cross-the-board 5% hike for cost of living as it's applied to the higher end of our state employee scale, where we're so out of whack now that the percentage gives an ungodly kind of increase. If I were range 25 and that employee in the governor's office who talked to me, I'd be embarrassed too. I think the majority leader accurately described the thrust of the amendment. It's taking a meat axe and not giving that across the board 5% to the higher end of this scale. I think that's the way it should be.
Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, just a point of trivia, I think. I don't believe, this is sort of a question to the chair, to the majority leader, I don't think this issue came to state affairs, did it? I mean,
Perhaps it didn't.
Yeah, I hate to give sustenance to Republicans, but I thought I should.
Representative Chatterton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking in opposition to the motion before us, first of all, Mr. Speaker, why wage compression is a very dangerous thing. I have seen wage compression occurring in private enterprise and has led to all types of personnel problems. Secondly, Mr. Speaker, proponents of this amendment obviously want the people who do not belong to a collective bargaining unit to start out and petition to become members of a collective bargaining unit. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion? Representative Carpenter.
I might have missed what Mr. Chatterton said. Did he say that if we went for this amendment, that we would be trying to convince this group to become members of a bargaining unit? Is that right? Well, that might be true of the lower ranges. That's not true of this group that we're meat-axing. Now, they're not going to go out and look for a union right now. They're the ones who are making the big bucks.
Representative Chatterton.
Mr. Speaker, through you, I will answer my colleague from Fairbanks. That is true. We're asking or suggesting or giving them the temptation to go out and form a collective bargaining unit.
Further discussion? Ready for the question. Question is, shall amendment number 1 be adopted? We'll take a roll call vote. Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
15 yeas, 21 nays, 4 excused.
So amendment number 1 has not been adopted. Does the clerk have further amendments to the bill?
Amendment?
Excuse me, Representative Duncan?
Just very brief, please.
House, please stand at ease. Does the clerk have further amendments to House Bill 933?
Amendment number 2 by Duncan and Miller. Page 2 Line 15. Delete Section 2. Insert new Section 2 and 3 to read as follows and renumber accordingly. And the rest of this amendment is duplicated and placed on your desk. It had been
This is the amendment that was originally proposed to be sponsored by Representative Cooper?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. It was to the committee substitute. It's now to the House Bill 933.
Representative Duncan?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
There is objection. Representative Duncan?
Mr. Speaker, as was indicated, this is the amendment that was originally to the committee substitute, but now to the original House bill. And it is to take care of the problem which Representative Cooper and Representative Greening had talked about before. Section 2 of the proposed amendment would state the intent of the legislature that this cost of living increase is to apply to judicial branch employees other than judicial officers and also to permanent employees of legislative branch, which is not clear in the bill, so it's important to have this section. Section 3 then applies to the problem with the University of Alaska. As Representative Cooper mentioned, they wanted to give the university a little more leeway in determining what cost of living allowances and what amount should be given. This would allow that to happen. I think it is a necessary amendment.
Representative Kelly?
Well, Mr. Speaker, I'd like a little more clarification on Section 3. Is the intent on this to restrict the salary structures that the university has set up? I remember seeing a printed copy of them somewhere. They've got some pretty fat-sized salaries up in the university. Is the intent of this to restrict those salaries or to give them more leeway to raise them higher?
Representative Cooper?
Speak to the original amendment. The purpose of it was to keep the university from increasing the disparity between the lower-level employees and the higher-level employees, and the only way you can do that is to give little raises, if any, to the people on the top and big raises to the people on the bottom. That's how you do it.
Further discussion? I'm ready for the question. Question is, shall amendment number 2 be adopted? Is the objection maintained?
Yes.
In that case, we'll have a roll call vote. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 4 nays, 7 excused.
So the amendment has been adopted. Is the clerk of further amendments to the bill?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller?
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that House Bill 933 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. The clerk, please read House Bill 933 in third reading.
House Bill 933 amended by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act relating to compensation for state employees not covered by a collective bargaining agreement and providing for an effective date.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, I signed the bill to the committee report do not pass on the Finance Committee bill, and that was a good one compared to what we have before us now. I don't expect that anybody really cares what my reason was, but I'm not so sure that I know myself, except that it's a discontent, a frustration with the system of what I consider a ridiculous system, and deciding who gets what for the work they do for the state. We have, as I recall, over 400 employees working for the state that make an excess of $40,000. And we have a situation here where the people, and this is the part that really bugs me with the system, the people that whose pay we're talking about right now are the people who sit down with the other people and negotiate how much pay they're going to get, what the benefits are going to be, what the cost of living and all these things. And when they do this and raise these figures up to a ridiculous level, in my estimation, compared to anything you want to judge it by, state governments in other states, private employment. It doesn't make any difference. Then when they do this and they raise these rates and pay in the lower grades, then they turn around and cry, these people are making as much as we are, so we have to have a raise. We're entitled to a raise. And that's ridiculous. What they're doing, the people in the top level are actually negotiating their own wages. They're using this as a sort of a hydraulic jack to keep boosting themselves up. And that's not right. That's a ridiculous system. And if I thought, you know, that any of them were underpaid, using normal criteria standards to judge by, I wouldn't object to giving them a fair wage. But anybody that looks at this knows that it's ridiculous. You get step raises, your merit raises, cost of living raises, and all you got to do is, most of these people, is to either your governor stay, your party stays in office, or you quit breathing. That's about all the requirements are. And, I think that if you get out in the real world where people really have to work for a living, they don't have any guaranteed cost of living. You know, these people, these are the new elite. They're a different brand of people. And I think that's wrong. And some way or the other, we've got to change the system. Maybe it doesn't do much good to stand up and sign a committee report, do not pass, and vote against it. That's what I intend to do. I don't have a better system, but I know one thing for sure. The one we're using now is ridiculous, and the people out there in the hinterland don't like it. And they have every right not to like it, because I think it's unfair.
Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to add a thought to that. It's been mentioned to me that the state employees who are not covered by the bargaining unit resent it when the bargaining unit employees get something like this cost of living allowance, and therefore we have to give it to them. Well, how do you think the members of the bargaining units feel, the ones who pay the dues and do the work to negotiate the contracts? I think that we should, at the very least, have the members of the non-bargaining units write a check for whether or not they join, write a check and pay their dues. They're getting the best of both worlds, and it seems grossly unfair.
So further discussion? Ready for the question. Question is, shall House Bill 933 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 14 nays, 6 excused.
So House Bill 933 has failed to pass the House. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 933.
Clerk, please note Representative Miller's notice of reconsideration of his vote, House Bill 933. House, please stand at ease.
Grecian, Cotton, and Chatterton. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask the unanimous consent that Senate Bill 332 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. The clerk, please read Senate Bill 332 in third reading.
Senate Bill number 332 by Curtula, an act relating to examination of eyesight for a driver's license.
Ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Bill 332 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
33 yeas, 1 nay, 6 excused.
So Senate Bill 332 has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
Senate Bill number 181, amended by the House by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act creating the Orca Inlet and Controller Bay critical habitat area. There was a Rules Committee. The Committee on Rules said Senate Bill 181 amended House under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 181 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, concurred in by Cotton, Nackack, Miller, Parr, Buchholz, and Urien. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker, and we are in third reading.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that we return Senate Bill 181 to second reading for purposes of adopting a specific amendment, namely the Rules Committee substitute.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the Rules Committee substitute.
There is objection. Representative Cotton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Perhaps an explanation is due. As you may note, we've changed the title to an act creating the Copper River Delta Critical Habitat Area. And the reason we've had to do that is because we've eliminated the Orca Inlet and Controller Bay areas from the critical habitat area. Apparently, the Orca Inlet section of the critical habitat area, the actual critical areas in the Orca Inlet area have been included. Members should have a map on their desk. And as to the Controller Bay area, there are some land transfers in progress right now over in that area. And so in order to achieve a compromise with all parties concerned, we have eliminated the eastern area of the critical habitat area, which effectively takes out Controller Bay, and portions of the western area, which include Orca Inlet. The remaining section, which has been renamed the Copper River Delta Critical Habitat Area, is, as far as I know, without controversy, and all parties involved, including the representative from Cordova, have signed off on the compromise.
Is the objection maintained to the motion? Hearing no further objection, motion is adopted. The Clerk of Amendments, Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 181 as amended by the House be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. The Clerk, please read Senate Bill 181, third reading.
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 181 by the Rules Committee, an act creating the Copper River Delta Critical Habitat Area.
Is there discussion? Ready for the question. Representative Byrne.
Mr. Speaker, I intend to vote against this bill. It's another bill to put land in a lockup. And no matter how good the purpose is, the fact is that we're still locking up more land before the people get any land. Now here goes another 420,000 acres. That's 656 square miles of land that we're going to lock up. I think that's wrong. And we've already punched out probably a million acres of land down here for parks and habitat areas. But we haven't put any land in the hands of the people. And I say this, that not one more acre of land goes into parks without the people getting their land. I'm going to vote no.
Further discussion. Ready for the question. Question is, shall Senate Bill 181 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Twenty-six yeas, eight nays, six excused.
So Senate Bill 181 passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
House Joint Resolution number 46 by Greening, Snyder, Swanson, and Meekins. Urging the U.S. Senate to reserve from ratification Articles 9 and 10 of the proposed United States-United Kingdom Tax Convention. The Committee on Finances had House Joint Resolution 46 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 46 and that it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Cooper, Guy, Schaefer, Meekin, Swanson, Buchholz, Greening, and Duncan. Having no recommendation, Rode and Haugen. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent the Finance Committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Is the clerk of amendments to the committee substitute?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number one by Mr. Greening. Page 2, line 3. Change state to states.
Representative Greening.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for adoption of this technical amendment.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Is the clerk of further amendments to the committee substitute?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that H.J.R. 46 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. The clerk, please read House Joint Resolution 46 in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 46 by the Finance Committee, urging the U.S. Senate to reserve from ratification Articles 9 and 10 of the proposed United States-United Kingdom Tax Convention that was amended. Excuse me.
Ready for the question. Representative Hayes.
Question of the sponsor, Mr. Speaker. Does this have anything to do with British Petroleum?
Representative Greening.
Yes. In this way, the treaty that is now being considered by the U.S. Senate deals with a number of businesses, of course, but businesses that are resident of the United Kingdom and also are doing business or resident of the United States. And it involves a number of provisions, one of which would allow the American businesses and in the United Kingdom to be taxed at a lower rate, which something like, instead of at 52%, at 42%. Contained in that are also several articles dealing with the power of the states to levy taxes. And the particularly offensive article in terms, both I think in terms of principle, in terms of actual state interest, state of Alaska, is Article 9, which would limit all states to a certain method of taxation. In other words, the unitary doctrine of taxation would not be allowed if the treaty were adopted. That means that the looking at the worldwide income for tax purposes would be disallowed to the extent that BP is doing business in Alaska or in the United States for that matter, they would be affected favorably by this treaty if it were adopted. There are a number of other treaties other than this that are in the background. Japan is asking for a similar thing to be adopted, and this would set a precedent. It would be very damaging to a number of state interests. The Commissioner of Revenue informs me that this would result under present tax law and a reduction of about $50 million annually. I haven't seen backup on that. This was the testimony that was given before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, which then duly passed out the treaty. But there is some opposition because a number of states are involved. Most of the states that are involved in the multi-tax compact are also going to, at least some of them, going to object to this inclusion of this article and ask for the reservation of this article or the removal from this article of the treaty, that is, of Article 9. And, of course, Article 9 would prohibit us from looking at worldwide income, even though that income might be actually earned in the state or there'd be a transaction in which that was not at arm's length, and so therefore we wouldn't be actually reaching some of the income we should be reaching if this treaty became law. I would add that this, as a matter of policy, I think if if the if Congress wants to receive a unified method or a consistent method of taxation throughout the state, it should be addressed probably by the whole Congress, not as a matter of federal treaty, which is only addressed to the U.S. Senate. And I urge the adoption of this resolution.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I was very concerned when I heard about the treaty this last summer. I'm, in fact, mildly angry. But it does not address any particular bill that's very important, or even any particular taxing policy. It addresses a whole family of different things the states can now do that the states would not be able to do if the treaty passes. Most people don't realize, Mr. Speaker, and many lawyers forget, that a treaty becomes a constitutional document once it is entered into. Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution says, "This Constitution and the laws of the United States and so forth, and all treaties made and which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the constitutional laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding." That's the supremacy clause in the United States Constitution, Mr. Speaker, and the references to treaties has been interpreted as having a higher authority than the reference to the laws adopted pursuant to the Constitution. So that even though we and another state may now have certain powers, they can be limited by adoption of a treaty, just as though the language of that treaty were in the United States Constitution. I think that this is a very ill-conceived idea, and we are not the only state that is considering taking this action. There are other states that have taken it, and of course, many of us, or all of us, have seen the documents we get from the National Council on State Legislatures and the National Council of State Governments regarding actions by the several states in lobbying Congress on the issue. I think it's very important, and I urge the adoption of the resolution.
Is there further discussion? Ready for the question. The question is, shall House Joint Resolution 46 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Thirty-two yeas, two nays, six excused.
So House Joint Resolution number 46 has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
House Joint Resolution number 79 by the Rules Committee, relating to rules proposed by the Department of the Treasury regulating firearms registration. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Joint Resolution 79 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Bradley, Chairman, concurred in by Bradley, Kelly, Lathine, Dankworth, and McKinnon. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that H.G.R. 79 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. The clerk, please read House Joint Resolution 79, third reading.
House Joint Resolution number 79 by the Rules Committee, relating to rules proposed by the Department of the Treasury regulating firearms registration.
Ready for the question? Question is, shall House Joint Resolution number 79 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
33 yeas, no nays, 7 excused.
So House Joint Resolution number 79 has passed the House. Brings us to the end of today's calendar. Down to unfinished business. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent we revert on the calendar to messages from the other body.
Hearing no objection, revert to messages from the Senate. Mr. Clerk, have any messages from the Senate?
Mr. Speaker, the Senate has concurred in the House amendments to committee substitute for Senate Bill number 488, thus adopting House committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill number 48, amended House, compensation for criminal injuries. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent we revert to standing committee reports.
Hearing no objection, revert to reports of standing committees. As clerk, of any standing committee reports.
The Committee on Judiciary has had House Joint Resolution 83 regarding the recent decision prohibiting the transportation of sealed handguns through Alaska, through Canada under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 83 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman, concurred in by Gardner, Miles, Brown, and Rudd. House Joint Resolution number 83 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent we revert to introduction of House bills.
Hearing no objection, revert to introduction of House bills. The clerk of any House bills for introduction.
House Bill number 982 by the Rules Committee, an act relating to regular sessions of the legislature.
Referred to State Affairs and Judiciary.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, back under unfinished business. We had communications today from the Senate that they had passed House Bill 502, preparation, publication, and filing of regulations under the Administrative Procedure Act. I think that's been distributed to all members, been on their desks since this morning. The amendments that were dealt with by the Senate are not substantial, Mr. Speaker, and of no great import, so therefore I move at this time that this body concur in the Senate amendments, thereby adopting House Bill 502 as amended in the Senate, and I'll ask the members to vote yes.
Clerk, please read the bill by title.
House Bill number 502, amended Senate by the Rules Committee by request of the Administrative Regulation Review Committee, an act relating to the preparation, publication, and filing of regulations under the Administrative Procedure Act.
Question is, shall the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 502? Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, no nays, 7 excused.
So the House has concurred in the Senate amendments to House Bill 502. Clerk, please notify the Senate. Representative Miller.
Speaker, we've also heard from the other body relative to House Bill 756, identification of Alaska arts and handicrafts. That bill, Mr. Speaker, was at variance from the House position, and if the Senate does not recede from their position, probably should go into a free conference. I'll therefore move at this time, Mr. Speaker, that this body concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 756, thereby adopting Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 756. I'll ask the members to vote no.
Clerk, please read the bill by title.
Senate Committee substitute for House Bill number 756 by the Commerce Committee, an act relating to the identification of Alaska arts and handicrafts.
Question is, shall the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 756? Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please. Representative Cotton? Any other members? Clerk, please take the roll.
Two yeas, 31 nays, 7 excused.
So the House has failed to concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 756. In the event that the Senate fails to recede from their amendments, this time appoint a conference committee with powers of free conference to meet with a like committee from the Senate consisting of Representative Duncan, Chairman, Representative Meekins, Representative Lovesett. Is further unfinished business to come before the House? Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to waive referral to House Committee of Senate Bill 363. This is individualized reading instruction. It's virtually identical to House Bill 793, which the committee has already passed up to finance.
There's no objection. The referral to Health, Education, and Social Services Committee be waived on Senate Bill 363, bill go directly to the Finance Committee.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to waive referral to the House Committee of Senate Bill 487, the minimum retirement benefits under TRS. This is a rather small housekeeping bill and is a primary of interest to the Finance Committee.
There's no objection. The referral to Health, Education, Social Services be waived in Senate Bill 487. Bill go directly to the Finance Committee. Is there further unfinished business to come before the House? Special orders. Are there any special orders? Announcements, committee meetings. Representative Cooper?
The Finance Committee will meet on adjournment to take up House Bill 909, supplemental appropriation to about 80 different people because of the increase in the police, numbers of police in Anchorage. House Bill 550, unemployment insurance benefits, although I had announced earlier because I thought we'd be on the floor till later this afternoon that we'd come back tonight with that. If we can round up the people, maybe we can do that this afternoon. Otherwise, we'll have to come back tonight. The Finance Committee will also meet tomorrow morning at 8:30 to take up House Bill 837, interpreters for handicapped persons in court. I'd ask the members to be there at 8:30, please.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, the Labor and Management Committee will meet at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning for a special hearing relating to compliance with legislative intent with Chapter 89, Session Laws of Alaska, 1976, which relates to payment of prevailing wage on state construction contracts. We'll have representatives of the Department of Transportation there, and presumably somebody from the Attorney General's Office and the Legal Services Division to inquire into some problems that have arisen under that law.
Further announcements? Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, Hess will meet in about 10 minutes from adjournment. House Concurrent Resolution 134, invasion of citizens' right to privacy by the Child Support Enforcement Agency of the Department of Revenue, and Senate Bill 535, exercise of emergency medical services by municipalities.
Representative Miles.
The House Oil and Gas Committee will meet tonight at 7 o'clock in House Judiciary to continue its work on gas line financing legislation.
Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, the Free Conference Committee for House Bill 477, an act relating to the sale of state land and providing for an effective date, will meet at 4:30 this afternoon in the State Affairs Committee room.
Representative McKinnon.
Speaker, the Commerce Committee will meet tomorrow morning at 9 to take up HCR 135, annulling a regulation of the Public Utilities Commission.
Further announcements. Is there further business to come before the House? Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, the rest of the class pictures are available for pickup in my office. I think in most cases they've already been paid for. In a couple of cases there's still a payment to be made, but in any case, all of the pictures that have been ordered are now available in my office, so the members would pick them up. If there's nothing further to come before the body, Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent. We stand adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Without objection, House is adjourned.